Welcome to the Growth Starts Here podcast. I'm Jamie Matuszek, owner and CEO of Bloom Communications. I've spent the last 30 years navigating business challenges, and I want to help you skip rungs on the ladder. In this podcast, we'll tackle strategies and marketing tactics to drive your business growth. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy this episode. I am excited to be diving into a topic I know that every single one of you is either struggling with right now or you're challenged with, and that is mastering your calendar and not allowing your schedule to control you. But before we dive in, I want to make sure you take a moment to subscribe to our podcast. We're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Spotify, and we are on YouTube. So plenty of options for you there. Our goal and my goal is to continue to share practices that are going to help strengthen you and your day-to-day life, both professionally and personally. So let's dive in. It's a solo cast today, and I am going to be sharing ways that you can actually start to control more of your own schedule instead of it controlling you. So if you're sitting on the other side of this podcast, listening and thinking, oh my gosh, my schedule is out of control, my calendar is completely out of whack, I don't know how to get my head and my hands wrapped around it to get it back on track, then this is definitely for you. And we have all been there. And I guarantee you, it's not a one-time fix. This is something that happens to all of us. And I frequently have to circle back and get it reset and refreshed and reframed. But I will tell you that these practices that I'm sharing today will put you into a routine where this can be a weekly focus, so that you don't feel so out of control. I know everyone listening is in a different season of life. Some of you are parents of small children. God bless you. That's a special season. Some of you are parents of kids with so many activities that you barely have time to eat. Some of you might be empty nesters, so you're stepping into a completely different season. Some may just have gotten married, and that introduces its own challenges of having someone else in the household. Many of you might be single, where you're feeling like, well, you know, why am I having such a hard time with my schedule? I'm single. There isn't anyone else to report to, I say in quotes, air quotes. And then some of you on the call, you've been in the business world forever and you still have this challenge. And some of you are just stepping into the workplace and the business world, and you're really trying to find this balance of, gosh, you know, how do I balance my personal life? How do I balance my business task? How do I really start to master my calendar and take more control over this area of my life? Well, I will tell you, these practices work for everyone. It does not matter the season of life that you are in. How can I say that? How do I know? Well, all of those examples I just named, I have personally been through. I've been through each one of those seasons. Each of them offers unique challenges, but these practices are so simple, yet so powerful. They will change with you through every season of life. All you have to do is note them down and start applying them. It does actually take the application. So it's one thing to just listen, but it is only going to work if you jot these down and you start to apply them, and you apply them every single week. Well, let's dive in. These are going to seem so basic that you may even question, like, really, does that even work? I promise you, if you will commit to doing this for 30 days, you will see a change, a positive change in your life. You're going to feel it on multiple levels. So I just encourage you, again, jot these down, start applying. All right, well, let's start. Number one, start reviewing your work week on Friday afternoon as you end a work week, or on Sunday, or both. That is super important. Instead of closing out the laptop, shutting things down Friday afternoon, jumping up from your desk and going on to the next activity, take a beat. Take a beat, take a pause, and look at the next week. Look at the following week and start to do some resetting. Look at what might be ahead of you for the week. You're probably going to see some things you committed to that you need to back out of, or you need to reschedule. You might have things you need to add to your calendar based on what has surfaced in your personal life or throughout the work week. So go ahead and take a moment, review it, and start to reset. And I encourage you to do this before you leave on Friday and at some point on Sunday, so that you feel more in control over your week, so that you're stepping into that week at least with an idea of what is in front of you. As you review your calendar, include both your personal and your professional obligations and tasks on your calendar. This is really important. This was one of the most powerful things I learned, and it's so simple. I'm talking about even starting with your wake-up time, what you do in the morning to prep before diving into the work week, even your commute time, or you have kids that you have to take and drop off at school. Jot those down on your calendar. Jot down your workout times. Include your personal appointments. Outline your meetings, your work meetings, your work blocks. Like, what are areas of the week and day that you need to carve out for certain priorities that you've set for yourself for the week? So look at both personal and professional. And then, like I said, I'm gonna take a look at that week and reset. Reset. Start to block off those times that you need to step into the things that are really important to you to accomplish for that week. Well, some of you might be saying, oh, well, you know, things come up and, you know, there's life, life just throws things at me and that's just not going to work. Well, that's just an excuse. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. We can plan the perfect week. And yes, things are going to happen that jump in ahead of the priorities that we've outlined. But at least you have control over the calendar to see where that can fit and then where some of your schedule activities need to go. So number one, closing out Friday, stepping into Sunday, review the schedule for the week. Number two, some of you are not going to like me after I say this, but number two is set a bedtime goal and stick to it. The success of your following day actually starts the night before. And many of us, hey, personally, I get it. There's times when I've stayed up way too late, but that has not set me on a path for success for the next work day because I'm tired, I'm hitting snooze, I'm not getting into my day, I feel rushed. And honestly, that feeling of being late sticks with me all throughout the day. I've definitely noticed that when I don't get to bed at a decent hour so that I can get up early the next day to prep and get ready for my day, it's just not a good thing. So setting a bedtime goal, getting to bed. Obviously, if you're home alone, that's a lot easier. If you've got family in the house, you've got to start setting some boundaries with them, like letting them know, hey, this is the boundary I'm setting for myself. This is when I'm going to bed because I'm going to get up at X time the following day. So starting to really get the household around a certain schedule is good as well, so that you can get more control over that following day. And then before you close your eyes, shut off the phone. There's so many studies done that scrolling before bed is just not good for our brains. It doesn't allow your brain to rest, to come down off the high and the endorphins that are being created by scrolling and staring at that blue screen. So instead, set the phone aside, pick up something positive, reflect on something, or maybe just spend a few minutes just in whatever your practice is, whether that's reading a devotional or prayer, or you do meditation, but thinking on something that went well that day, thinking on something positive to really reframe your mind and let your mind rest before diving into trying to go to sleep. So number two, setting the bedtime goal and reading something positive or thinking on meditating something positive from the day before you close your eyes. Number three, getting up early. Again, that's the reason for number two. It starts the night before, but getting up early, and this looks different for everyone, depending on when your day starts, to allow you to ease into your day. So I will share my schedule as an example, but this may not work for you. So think about it and start to review, hey, what might work for me? But getting up early before you have to jump into your day is going to set your day for success. So what it looks like for me is 3 days a week, I wake up at 5:30 so that I can hit my workout at 6 a.m. I work out till 6:45. I come back, I take care of my puppy, I fix my coffee, and I sit down for some quiet time. I need some quiet time. I have a gratitude, a process where I reflect on gratitudes, what I'm grateful for the day. I spend some time personally in my devotion and prayer time. And surprisingly, I get so much creative thinking that starts to surface during that time. And then I shower, I eat, and I'm online by 8 or 9 a.m., which is perfect for most of my work days because I work later in the evening. Other days of the week, I might wake up at 6, following the same routine though. It's really all dependent upon when is that first meeting, when is my first work obligation, but I might get up a little bit later, follow the same routine, giving myself an opportunity to ease into that day. I can tell you that I spent way too many years sleeping right up until the moment I had to absolutely get up. I gave myself only enough margin to shower, eat, probably not even eat. Most of the time, my breakfast included a Pop-Tart and a Diet Coke. Jump in the car, drive, commute, and dive into the day. There was no moment of easing in. That didn't work so well. It did not set my mindset or my mode well for interacting with anyone else throughout the day. So I encourage you. Step number two is setting that bedtime goal so that step number three becomes easier. And just start waking up 30 minutes earlier than you have, and then an hour earlier if you need to ease into it. But I guarantee you, if you follow this practice, getting to bed at a decent hour so that you get rest, getting up early is not going to be an issue. Giving yourself time to ease into your day is key to your success. And then number four, it's going to sound so simple, but putting a close on your workday, closing your workday out versus just sitting, again, slamming the laptop down, jumping up from the desk and just diving into the very next activity without a moment for your brain to transition. Transition is so important for our brains and our success and our energy. So taking a moment at the end of your workday, give yourself 5 minutes, 10 minutes to look at what did you accomplish, what still lingers on your calendar or schedule from the day that you didn't get to, making a short list of your priorities for the following day, and then just allowing that transition moment so you can close out the workday and then be fully present for yourself. Be fully present for those that you're going to be interacting with. If you're heading in to pick up your child or you're heading to an evening with your family, but it has allowed you to close out that workday, that will for sure give you just a sense of more accomplishment and you're already planning for the next day. So you don't have to have those thoughts twirling through your mind about, oh, what did I not miss? What did I not get to? What did I miss? What do I need to focus on the next day? Because you've already jotted those down and have those prepared. So again, just four basic things to start to really gain more control over your calendar. Number one, making sure you're reviewing your schedule for the week on Friday afternoon before you leave, and again on Sunday. Just removing the Sunday scaries altogether. Just looking at your week, planning, resetting, and that literally takes 10, 15 minutes. Two, setting a good bedtime goal and sticking to it. You know your body, you know your schedule. Set a bedtime goal, get to bed so you can get some rest and be prepared for step three, getting up early. Giving yourself some margin to get into your day before jumping into your schedule and your workday. And then number four, putting a close on your workday, looking at what you accomplished, what you still have out there that you need to tackle the next day, jotting that down and transitioning into your evening. All right, well, I have a bonus number five. And this is going to be important for those of you who commit, or I would say maybe overcommit, so that you have zero margin in your life for anything that is good for you. Many of us overcommit and say yes to way too many things during the week when we know it is going to wear us completely out. I did not learn how to say no to things until way too late in my career, way too late in my life. But it's actually a muscle that you have to practice. And I will guarantee you that when you say, you know what, I'm going to start really saying no to more things, you're going to have an opportunity to practice. Trust me, it happens every single time. So I want to encourage you, the next time something surfaces or someone asks you to commit to something where you are already feeling spread thin, practice power of the pause. Power of the pause is super important. I will have an entire episode on this concept, but before you say yes or no, unless you just absolutely know you can't because of your schedule, if you're tempted to say yes, stop. You know what? Thanks for thinking of me, or thanks for inviting me. You know what? Let me take a look and I'll get back to you. I'll get back to you tomorrow, or I'll get back to you in a couple of days. Let me think through. Let me look at my schedule, period. Don't make excuses. Don't over-explain. Just say, thank you. I need to take a look and I'll get back to you. And then when you go look, really look. What do you actually have margin for? Are you holding true to the commitments you've already made, both professionally and personally? What are your current deadlines? Are those current deadlines going to allow you to step into something else? What are your obligations from a personal perspective or family perspective? And then I dare say, are you getting enough rest? And are you getting some physical exercise in? Because those two things are key to your success and your health. So if the answer is no to most of that, then the answer is no. And all you need to say is, thank you for thinking of me. It doesn't work out this time. Ask me again. Simple as that. Most people, if they're great people, which I would imagine most of the people asking you to do things are, will just say, okay, yeah, no problem, and move on. But I want you to really start thinking about leaving more margin in your life, because listen, again, I spent way too many years not leaving enough margin for things and for people that were really life-giving to me. So I encourage you, I'll leave you with that encouragement that saying no is actually a fantastic way to take more control of your calendar and your schedule. Well, I hope these tips have helped you. And again, I just encourage you, take hold of these practices and give it a try. Give it a try for 30 days. If you loved this episode and you felt like it really was encouraging, or that you know that it will help someone else, share it to your Instagram story and tag us. We love to see it. We are at @Bloom_COMM. Be sure to subscribe and share our podcast with others, and I will talk to you next time. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast and contact us at hello@bloomcommunications.com if you're ready for business growth.